One of those is that each language has its own set of figures of speech. And those figures of speech are unique to the language at the time that they're being used in. And it's no different than during the time that the Old Testament was wrote, that there was figures of speech. There was also during the New Testament times with the Greek that there was figures of speech. During the Roman times, during the English times that we're in now, we all have figures of speech. And so we must recognize that those figures of speech are within the Holy Scriptures, that they were used as a part of an everyday occurrence. One of the figures of speech of the many is an allegory. And an allegory is a comparison by implication, or where the comparison is implied. It teaches or tells us something beyond what is said. And that's what an allegory is. And of course, that figure of speech is used in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. When you look at Genesis and we look at the story, we have the true history of in Genesis of a family there that you have of Abraham. And with Abraham, you had his wife, Sarah. And with Sarah, you had her handmaid, Hagar. And with these two, there was a history that was going on that is recorded in the Bible that Abraham and Sarah could not have children. And so Sarah figured out a way to circumvent that there would be an heir. And so she gave Abraham Hagar and said, you have a child and heir by him. And so then Ishmael was born. But again, that was a circumventing of God's plans on what God had in store from the beginning of time. Even though Hagar was a bondservant and she had the child Ishmael by Abraham, that was not what God wanted the lineage to come through. And what God wanted the lineage to come through was through Abraham and Sarah, and we know that he promised Abraham that he would have a child, but it wasn't going to be through their guidance through Hagar, but it was going to be through Sarah, and it was going to be Isaac. And we realize that there was a conflict between the two, but yet through the seed of Abraham, it was going to come through, the blessings was going to come down through Isaac. In Galatians, the fourth chapter, what's interesting in verse 21 is, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? We see today a lot of people that say, we want to side with Israel. We want the Ten Commandments. We want this. Or I'm going to be with Israel. Or we're with Israel. So forth. But Paul here says, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? There's certain things that he goes through and explains to the people that are with this law that they need to realize and consider. The first thing that he talks about, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. So the first thing you need to realize is that with Hagar, she was a bondmaid. She wasn't the true, free wife. But Sarah was free. She was a legitimate wife of Abraham. So she was a free woman in this. And Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. And he says in Genesis, the 17th chapter, God showed that even though he had made a promise to Abraham that he would bless his seed, he lived up to that because God is faithful in what he does. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, verses 20 and 21, God told him, said, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. But in that, he's going to establish the covenant with Isaac. But he also made fruitful
Ishmael. Because he said that he would end up blessing Abraham. When you go to, in the 17th chapter and verse 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with him. He made 12 princes, a great nation, with Ishmael. And that was fruitful. And there was that. But he was born after the flesh. Even though there was 12 princes, and he was a nation also, there was 12 princes. He was a great nation. But not as great as here. His covenant was going to be through Isaac. In Romans, the 9th chapter, starting at verse 6. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children through Hagar was not the covenant. They weren't going to be, the promise wasn't made to them. Because she was a bondwoman. The seed and the covenant was going to come through Sarah, through Isaac. That was where it was going to be. When you look at Ishmael and Hagar and what happened there, Paul said that she was born, they were born after the flesh. But over here, with Isaac, they were born by the promise. So here you have the promise. And here you have born after the flesh. So far we can see that on one side you have bondage, or in a bondmaid. You have those that are born after the flesh. On the other side you have those that are free. And the covenant is through them and the promises through them. And Paul goes on and says that here's the allegory between these two situations that he talks about in Galatians, the 4th chapter. He said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. There's the two covenants, he's saying. You can take this, here's a greater truth that he's talking about, is that you've got the two covenants. One is going to be represented over here, the other is going to be represented over there, as far as the two covenants. And he says, for this Hagar, he said, one covenant, the one from Mount Sinai, which you would have over here, and Hagar is the same as Hagar. Sinai is where the law was given to the children of Israel. That was the one covenant. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage. Where did it lead? It led to bondage, which is Hagar. So you have that covenant that went to bondage. Which, he says, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. So he's talking about this covenant here pertaining to the Jerusalem that now was, and that Jerusalem that now was, where the worship was taking place and so forth, was in bondage. And answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. When you look at Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. The bondage of corruption is there, but the glorious liberty is on the other side. When you look at Mount Sinai and the cross, the two covenants, one is bondage, and the other is going to be, with the promise, liberty. Now, if you want so far, if you want to stand with Jerusalem, and you want to stand with Israel, so far you're going to have to realize that I'm going to be standing with a covenant of bondage. It's not going to be a covenant of promise. It's not going to be a covenant of liberty. So I need to understand that and realize that. In Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter, verse 17 starting. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, speaking concerning Jesus. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and all the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. The glorious liberty is going to be associated with the cross. You have the Mosaic Law, which is under Hagar. The Mosaic Law is under Hagar. The Law of Christ is going to be under Sarah. Because Jerusalem then represented the Mosaic Law. The cross represents the Law of Christ. So Paul continues the allegory here. He says, "For Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." There's freedom, there's liberty. That has been promised. "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that rejoice, bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she with hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." So as Isaac was, he says, under Christ, we are as the children of promise. "But as then he that was born after the flesh..." You see the problem here. He that was born after the flesh is doing what? "Persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." What was the situation that was going on at the time? Those under the Mosaic Law were persecuting those under the Christian Law. The Jews battled and fought concerning the Christian Law. And the persecution was there. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Under this bondage in Jerusalem, in Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15. We find, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Over here, you have the fear, and they have the fear of death. The fear of death under Hagar, under the bondwoman, under the Law of Moses. The deliverance from death was through Sarah, when we look at that aspect. When you look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Starting at verse 54. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The deliverance from death is over on this side. So we have deliverance. On that side, under Hagar, you have death, bondage. Under this side, under Sarah, you have deliverance from that death. Liberty. Jerusalem, that now is under Hagar. The Jerusalem that is above, the kingdom of God that is above, is under Sarah, the new one. Bondage under one, under here. If I have deliverance and I have liberty, then I have freedom. The exact opposite. Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, Paul said, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back under the old law. Don't go back under Hagar's situation. Don't go back to the old law and become again entangled in bondage. If you've been over here and been free, why go back under bondage? Why go back under the fear of death? Why go back under that when you have been freed from that through the new covenant of Jesus Christ? Why go back? In Genesis, the 21st chapter, in verse 9, starting. Again, when you look back to the true account, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. What happened to this one? What happened to Hagar? She was cast out. Because Sarah said, I don't want her to be an heir with Isaac. She was cast out. When you look at Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Under the old law, under the Mosaic law, if I want to stand with the old Jerusalem, if I want to stand with Israel, then I'm going to be cast out. If I, under this covenant here of the cross with Christ, I have that freedom, I will be an heir with Christ in the end. That is the allegory that he presents. Paul is presenting to them. Why go back? Why go back under bondage? Why go back under the situation of the bondmaid? We realize that Ishmael would not have been the true heir. Isaac was the true heir because Sarah was the free woman. Here was the covenant with promise and with liberty. Here was the deliverance from death and freedom and to be a true heir. And that was through the cross. That's the covenant. That one there, he says, look what you've got. Look what's under that covenant. Who wants that? Who wants to be after the flesh, bondage, back with the old Jerusalem, to have the fear of death and not have the liberty
and to be cast out. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to go back. It wasn't another gospel. Paul said that in the first chapter. It's not another gospel. It's that they're perverting the gospel and saying that in order to have this, you've got to mingle it in with that. Paul makes that perfect statement in the scripture reading that we had. Tell me, Paul says, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? By the hearing of it, do you not realize what all you would be getting back under again? The people today that say, I want to stand with Israel. I'm with Israel. We need to support Israel. We need to do this. We need to have the Ten Commandments. We need to have all that. Do they realize? Do they not hear what the law says? They give up their heirship once they revert back to that. Once they follow that covenant, they're not under this covenant. So I go back into bondage. Because Paul says there's the allegory between the two. There's your two covenants. The old Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above. Bondage, freedom, and liberty. And that's the choice that people are making today. When they say, I want to go back to this. I want to stand with this. I want to be with this. Again, the simple question from Paul. Tell me what you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? That's the allegory that he presents to those of Galatia to explain to them. Galatians, the third chapter again, verse 29, he said, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If ye be Christ. The question that you would have to ask is, have you put on Christ and thereby becoming an heir? For as many of you, in verse 27, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Have you been baptized into Christ, thereby putting Christ on? That's the only way that you can become an heir. That's the only way that you can have that freedom and that deliverance and that liberty under that covenant, is to put on Christ. And the way you do that is through baptism. Have you done that? You have an opportunity this evening, if you haven't done that, to do so. To make the right covenant choice. And to do that and to follow that. If you've been thinking about that or wish to have more of a study on that, let that be known. I'm sure that most likely, I'm almost positive that if you want to learn more about that, becoming a Christian and so forth, that Donnie would be more than glad to sit down with you and have a study and explain all that concerning how to become a child of God if you aren't sure. We have to pick the right covenant that we want to be under if we want to be a true heir. We have an opportunity this evening, an invitation is extended, that if you know how to do that, you can make that choice now and to choose the correct covenant and have the liberty and freedom that you desire and be an heir to eternal life. If we can assist in any way, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?